topic of our message today is, how do you respond to crisis? How do you respond to crisis? Christianity does not promise. I mean, maybe you think everything is just going to be rosy, rosy, rosy. The devil, go your own, do your thing, I do mine. Don't cross my path, I won't cross your path. That is not what Christianity promises you. He said, in this world, you have tribulation, you have crisis, you have problems, you have everything all together. But mind you, on all these things, what's the ultimate end? Eternal life. So, you know it in your mind. What is that thing? That your deepest fear. There are things you fear in your life. Maybe you just had an appraisal and your job is hanging loosely. Or maybe in your family there are issues you're trying to battle with. Maybe in your Christian life there are things you're struggling with. These are crises in your life. But how do you handle them? How do you handle them? It is okay to have these fears. It is okay. It is natural. It is in you. Jesus Christ at some point became fearful. Peter did. Other disciples. But how do you handle your own fear? What torments you? That problem in your life, how do you handle it? We are going to look at a man of God and how he handles issue about his life when he had crisis. So we will read, if you don't mind, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. From verse 1. I'll be reading from a different, well, you could look there. I might be reading from a different translation of the scripture. It will make the meaning clearer to me, maybe to you too. After this, the armies of Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Midianites say to Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Aden, is marching, coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast through all Judea. This is an example of how this man confronted his fear. What did he do? He sought the face of the Lord. Who is Jehoshaphat? The son of David, the son of Solomon. He is known for doing the will of God. He followed after his father and grandfather. He sought the Lord. He did not worship Baal as others did. But can I ask you this? You only seek someone you know. If you haven't seen me before, and they say, go and look for Philip, what will you do? No. You have to know Philip is this. Philip looked like that. So that by the time you see me, you know this is Philip. So you cannot seek the Lord if you don't know him. It is not possible. You seek someone you know. That is why Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, that's one aspect that people don't always quote. And the fellowship of his suffering. We don't always quote that one. We don't include that one. Fellowship of his suffering, no. But the power of his resurrection and all the blessings, yes. That's for me. No. Anyway. But you just need to know who you are seeking for. Now, what did this man do? Let's see verse 6 to 9. Verse 6 to 9. And he said, Lord God of our Father, are you not God in heaven? That means he knows that he is God in heaven. And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to stand you? What does that tell you? He knows God and his ability, what he can do. So if you don't know God for yourself, you remember the seven sons of Sceva, don't you? Said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preached, get out of this madman. And the madman went mad. Madman went mad. He went mental. And he, can you imagine one single madman beating seven huge, mighty boys? Beat them up, tore all their clothes, and they ran away, stark naked. Because he was trying to use the name of someone he does not know. So no matter how nice you can pronounce the name of Jesus, no matter how beautiful you can mimic speaking in tongues, if you don't know Jesus Christ for yourself, it won't work. It will not just work. It won't work. There was this, when I was growing up, there was this advertisement in TV that said, if it is not Panadol, it's not like Panadol. If it is not Panadol, it's not like Panadol. So if it is not, it won't work the same way. So if it is not the Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, it won't work. No matter how you call him, it won't work. Simple. It is as simple as that. Now, let's read from 10 to 12. 10 to 12. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Now, there was a time when the Israelites were living. They wanted to destroy these people completely because they terrorized them. And then there was an opportunity for them to revenge. And God said, don't do it. Do not do it. That shows God does not want us to do it our own way. Bible said, vengeance is of the Lord. And now, they just felt, why is this man doing his things like this? It was like David. When he found a very nice opportunity to strike Saul dead, he didn't do it. God said, don't do it. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. They were going back to God to say, God. Now, you refuse to allow us to crush them. Now, they are coming back to us. To kill us. Anyway, you said vengeance is yours. avenge on our behalf. 11. Here, they are rewarding. He's becoming sarcastic now. They are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your position, which you have given to us to inherit. So he knows that that land was given to them to inherit. But he said, well, if that is your will, we better let you deal with it your own way. But now, that is the repercussion. Sort it out. I really wish we could just do our part and let God do his. He said, take me to court if I will not justify myself. Bible says, being in readiness to avenge every disobedience, but it is when your own obedience is complete. If your obedience is not complete, you cannot avenge any disobedience. So they said, well, God, you didn't allow us to destroy them. Now they are coming to destroy us. Sort it out. The next verse. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? He's passing the baton back to God. Will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. I'm going to tell us one thing, and this will be very, very interesting. Now, I love the dependency of this prayer. I love the dependency. And I love the brokenness of this prayer. And I love the humility in this prayer. And above all, I love the love. It wasn't sarcastic to God. It just simply quoted his word back to him. Quoted his word back to him. You know what? Prayer is like a well-addressed letter. Address it properly, get the postcode all right, put the right stamp, it will go. Definitely it will go. Get the postcode wrong. I recently engaged in selling things online, and one lady got the postcode wrong. So when I went to the post office to post it, the postman went, that's wrong. I said, okay, well, I just copied it and pasted it. I didn't do nothing. I said, but the postcode is wrong. I said, sort it out. He got the right postcode, and my item went. If I just went, oh, don't worry, just print whatever is there, and then dump it in the post, would it have gone? No. So that's the prayer. You know what? When my family were in Nigeria, I visited home and I went to a church. And I was opportunity to watch a wonderful playlet. There was this huge king on the throne. And there were these two ladies. One came. They all dressed not properly. And one came and then went, oh, king, your regime is just terrible. Everything is just skyrocketing. Prices of petrol, food, we can't even afford nothing. Even now, I tell you, we've never fed like this before. Even now, we've not had breakfast. And the king went, really? Right. He called one of his security men, handle this woman, handcuff her, and put her in jail. She was crying and wailing and rolling on the floor, but it was late. And another one came. Oh, king, live forever. You are a wonderful king. Your regime is the best. We thought that this time all of us would have been dead, but a wonderful man. Look at how the kingdom is flourishing. Look at even your attire. Wonderful king, live forever. And the king went, already called his servant. Go to our storehouse, open the storehouse, load her with blessings, let her go back home. Same king, the same throne, the same everything, but the difference is the manner of approach. How do you approach God? Do you approach God murmuring? Oh God, what do you mean? I was in my father's house, you called me and I became born again. We didn't throw punches before I became born again. How come even to buy milk is becoming a problem? God, I don't know. You just need to answer. Oh, anyway, when we get to heaven, you answer all these questions. That is murmuring. You are complaining. That is not prayer. That is not prayer. We recently studied Colossians chapter 1. Do you see the way Paul addressed the letter? He first of all had greeted them nicely and praised them and prayed for them before he even brought the issue, the main thing, the main point of writing them a letter. Brothers and sisters, we need to place our priority right. You can never place a cart before the horse and you expect this horse to take you to your destination. Possible? No, it's not. You just have to leave the horse in the front and then you will go. Please, let's learn to pray right. That's how this man prayed. Now, verse 13. Now, all Judea with their little ones. I want you to look at that word. Little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. But these days, the wife is somewhere. The husband is in the market. The kids are on weekend away with mates. But when the jailer asked Paul and Silas, what shall we do to be saved? He said, you shall receive the Lord your God, and you shall be saved, you and your household. So please, ask God to help you to live this kind of life here, where the little ones, the wife, the children, the husband and everything will stand before the Lord. That is where there's full joy. That is where you will enjoy the peace of mind. First, you won't think in the service, you won't think, oh, that my phone will vibrate. It might be the police. Might be the social services. I don't know where he's been. I don't know what she's done. Anyway, that is up to the Lord. But these people here, Jehoshaphat gathered them together and they were with the Lord. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came to Gehazi, the son of Zechariah. I'm not going to read the rest. But let me tell you something, and this will shock you. If you Google it, I don't know if you have internet now, I will ask you to Google Gehazi. You know the meaning? Our eyes are on you. That's the meaning. And this was their prayer in verse 12. But Lord, our eyes is... how does this sound to you? Our eyes are on you. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon that man, that the meaning of his name is the same. What does it tell you? Be careful if you're not giving your kid's name, if you're not... Be careful the name you give your children. Be careful. Be careful. That's the name, the meaning of this one. We are all Bible students. Let me ask a question. Can any of you remind me of a person? Let me make it simpler. Start thinking now. Holy Spirit will give you the answer. There was a man in the Bible. If you know it, don't just put up your hand. The mom gave him a very, very wrong name. And it was following him. negatively. And one day, he couldn't take it anymore. He said, "Mom, what does my name mean?" And the mom said, "Your name means sorrow." Yes. Come on. Yes. Chebes. God bless you. And he said, do you know the prayer she prayed? The prayer he prayed, "Lord, enlarge my cause. Change my name today." And from that day, he refused to answer that name. I give you an assignment. Go back and then search his current name now. I won't tell you. Thank you, my dear Francis. God bless you. Chebes. Don't Google it. Don't Google it. Francis, I hope you're not Googling the new name. Oh, okay. God bless you. Oh, God. So, please, the Spirit of the Lord came upon this man here. And what did he say? Verse 15. 15? And he said, "Listen, all you of Judea, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat," himself spoke to King Jehoshaphat, "thus said the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." That is what I want. That should settle everything. The battle is God's. Let him fight it. Don't fight his battle. You see, I grew up in a village. If you see free fight for all and you just decide to join the fight, you'll be hitting the wrong person, and before you know it, you get a deadly strike. So fight the battle you know. If you don't know it, let God sort it out. The battle about your life, whatever you're going through in your life, you don't know it. Pass it on to God. Cast all your care upon him. He cares for you. You do not care for yourself. You don't even know yourself. As a matter of fact, you don't even know what you're going to do after this service. Have you ever been in a situation where you say, oh God, I didn't know I could do this? Have you? Have you? That means you don't even know yourself. But who knows you? God. He said he knows the heart of men. Because the heart of men is so deceitful and dangerously wicked. Who can know it? Only God. So the battle is God's. Don't try to fight this battle. Is it the battle of your family? The battle of your employment? Whatever battle it is, it's an expert in fighting every battle. I'm going to tell us what. I wish Mark is here. I'm going to tell us a story. Yes. Ryan, you were there yesterday. Don't tell him. You know what? Yesterday, we visited Peter Goodchild. Yeah? At where? Huh? Where? Cranbrook. Cranbrook. Let me say this thing. I hope you won't listen to this message. You know what? He sat now. I don't know what Rachel and the kid did. The sat nav couldn't talk. He actually coded the address properly. But his sat nav wasn't talking. And it is very, very dangerous to be driving and be looking at the map on the screen, the little LCD. For mine, we just say, turn left. He wasn't talking. But Mark nearly, I'm not going to say this, but he was so frustrated. Yeah? But Ryan was at the back of the car, Googling where we were going. That beautiful car, 2015 car, could not even take us to car. Because he was using the wrong thing. God knows you. God has put all the manual of operation in the Bible. Read it and see the way it works. It took... Ryan, be sincere with yourself. How many wrong turn did we take? He lost count. Because the sat nav wasn't talking. When God keeps quiet, it's dangerous. Honestly. Don't play with him. He will just mute himself. And we allow you to sort it out. Imagine. At the point, we have to drive about 10, 15 minutes on the wrong route. Very narrow track,
country road, we had to watch when a railroad oncoming vehicle, and we turned the car back. Only to drive back to where? Oh, God. It was terrible. It was terrible.
You need to follow the right instruction to get the right result. You need it. You need it. Try to use the remote control of your car on your TV and see what happens. Verse 15. And I want to read 16 to 21. And this amazing thing you will see there. 16. Tomorrow. You know, I was talking about the instruction. Now, listen to the instruction. Tomorrow, not today, not next year, not next week. Tomorrow, go down against them. You know what? In fighting a battle, I mean, I learned this from David as well. He rushed against Goliath. He didn't say, Goliath, you come. You come. I'm ready for you. He rushed against Goliath. And these people, God said, tomorrow, go down against them. But the thing is, we sit down and then, oh, God. Oh, God. No, 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 no. If you stand there, he will come and get you there. Go. Go forward. David rushed against Goliath and got him down. We will see what happened here. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up. You will surely find them at the end of the brook. The wilderness. The next one. You will not need to fight in this battle. But what's the instruction there? Position yourself correctly. I told you I grew up in a village. There were all these Philips radio. How many of us knew it? Philips. You have to pull the antenna. If you don't position the antenna properly, the news will go. All you hear is shh. You need to position yourself properly to get from God. What's the antenna of a Christian? Holy Spirit. You are in sync with the Holy Spirit. You get the vibes. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Yesterday I ran commentaries about do not fear, and I had, there are 365 do not fear in the Bible. That means every single day has one do not fear for you. In the whole Bible. 365, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Well, the scripture, your translation might put in a different, but all of them means do not fear. 365. So, every day as you wake up, there's one do not fear from the Lord waiting for you. There is. There is. There is. Do not fear. Tomorrow, go out against them, my friend, for the Lord is with you. What again do you need to hear? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. What again do you need to hear? Theresa May is with you. Trump is with you. Is that what you want to hear? No. No. The Lord is with me. That is all I want to hear. Every other thing can be against me. Employment against me. My boss in the office against me. The school against me. My car against me. My finances, my bank account. Bank might say no to my loan, everything. I don't care. No. I am with you. The Lord is with you. The next verse. And that's another thing. That's another big lesson. Positioning. And Jehoshaphat. Listen. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. That's one thing. And Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. and worship the Lord. That's another thing. And the Levite of the children of Kohath, whatever it is, stood up and praised the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice. They knew what they should do. Now, in this church here, Susan does the kitchen. Natalie cleans the toilet. Philip does the PA. Ryan leads the song. No, it shouldn't be. Identify where God wants you to serve. I wish one day someone would just say, Philip, you know what? I'd like to know what happened at that console there. Right. Though I have a terrible voice, but can you train me? I want to sing. See, if Ryan would say, no, your voice is terrible. You can't sing. You are. He's not going to sing that, will he? He won't. He'll brush you up and you'll sing. As a matter of fact, the angels do not listen to the melody. How synchronizing your voices are. That's not what the angel, that's not what God listens. Your heart. David was dancing and throwing his leg, and the world said, oh, people don't dance like that. He said, I don't care. And if you say it again, God will curse you. I'm going to dance. You don't really need to know how to sing. But it is from your heart. He knows your heart. He said, sing to the Lord a new song. One day I will sing what you've never heard before. And then I will see if you say, shut up, Philip. No, you won't say it. I'm singing to the Lord. I'm not singing to you. I might do African a cappella. You don't even know. Anyway, and they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness. That is the last instruction. They rose early in the morning. For some of us here, I'm going to say something that will really, if you don't say good morning to me again, I don't care. Some of us, we are so lazy that we can't even stand up in the morning and pray. Oh God, it is work time again. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to wake you up so you spend 3 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to seek the will of God for your life that particular day? Do you just rush off? Very early in the morning, these people stood up and they went. We have to be very careful. We have to be very serious with God. It's not a playmate. You pray when you want to pray. You fast when you want to fast. When the church declares fasting, oh God. You know what? I always say to people, 99% of God's will is against our will. You may not believe it. You could go with your busy days, 4 o'clock, you won't feel hungry. But the day you say, I'm going to fast today, by 6 o'clock, all the worms in your tummy will be wriggling. Be eating up your intestines. But you could go till 6 o'clock, no water, nothing. But just say, I'm going to pray and fast. Hey. What do you not like eating? Even the worst food. But listen, what do you not like? Huh? What do you not like? Okay, purple. He doesn't like purple. But if you declare fasting today, purple will be your best, your favorite food. That is just it. That is how tricky the devil is. That's how tricky he is. Let's be careful. And the last bit. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe in his prophet, and you shall prosper. There are two things. You see, sometimes when Mark or someone is led by God to tell you what to do, oh, I know him. I don't want to do it his own way. I know. I became born again before him. So why is he telling me this? You don't know. That might be the prophet God has sent to you at that particular time to help you in that particular situation. As a matter of fact, he does speak to me through the mouth of my kids. That's what the Bible says.
I do not look down on anybody. Tell me, Brother Philip, this is what God said. And I'll tell you, God bless you. I will go and ask God, if this is what you say, fine, help me to do it. Even if it is the area of my life I'm struggling, feel free to tell me. Believe the prophet, and you shall be established. As simple as that. As a matter of fact, God has been using human beings to speak to people. He's not going to sound, Paul says the Lord, Angie, I am the Lord speaking. No, he's going to use someone here. He's going to use somebody here. It could use the scripture. It could be in your dream. It could be in a vision. Hallelujah. And when he has consulted the people, he appointed singer unto the Lord. You know, because of time, I'm not going to go through this, but this is an amazing thing. Right. I'm going to ask you a very, very important question, and I want you to answer me as sincere as you have ever been. You are the worship team leader here. Yeah? If you had a jet bombardier flew in 150 soldiers from Iraq, and they have come to fight and to trash down Buckingham Palace. And in fact, they have strategically positioned themselves around Buckingham Palace. There's a spacecraft on the air and everything. Okay, Ryan, you're going to lead the worship team. Will be going to fight this Iraqi army. What will you do? You're going to use your microphone anyway. He will hide somewhere. He will resign from being the worship leader that day. Mark, I need to go back and ask God if actually you said I should be the worship leader here. But you see, Bible says God uses the foolish things of this world to confirm the wise. The wicked things of this world is what he uses to shame the mighty men. I can't imagine how the singers we go and fight the armies of three different countries coming to wage war against one city. Are you using the choir? It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense. It's all in obedience. They obeyed. Anyway, God, if you say this, it's all right. You know, we always have option A, B, C, D. God, if A doesn't work, I use B. I've been doing this. What about Goliath and David? What about that man? Goliath and David. It does not depend on your experience, brothers and sisters. No, no, no. In the things of God, your ability is zero. Just allow him to do it. I'm not going to go through. You would have seen what happened. And I would like you, when you go, if you read verse 22 to 25, you will see how God really proved himself to be God. He doesn't say a thing and go back. Bible says it's not like Son of Man that will say a thing and go against it. He says, stand still. It is my battle. He does not disappoint people. He does not. He did it. Okay. This is Brother Lastin. I've been in the armed forces. Now tell me, Brother Lastin, if you and I are fighting, it's either you kill me or I kill you. What scenario will make two of us die at the same time? It can only be God. Don't think. You can't figure it out. These armies of Moab and wherever they are from, three of them, they started fighting and killing each other because Jehoshaphat obeyed the instruction from God. And the very last army
killed himself. What's the point of living when he saw the whole army dead? He killed himself. So that was the last battle. How awesome is God? How? If he says a thing, he'll bring it to pass. Except he hasn't said it. If he does, he said, none of my word will fall to the ground without establishing the reason with which I sent it down here. That is the scripture. Let's stop toiling with God. If he says it, he will do it.